We're finishing off our series in Colossians today. So if you have a Bible and you'd like to turn to Colossians chapter 4, it's the last chapter of Colossians, that's what we're reading today. And if I was mean, I would have got somebody else to read this because it's just full of names that none of us are called. So forgive me, if any of you are Greek scholars and you can correct my pronunciation if you like, but I'm going to give it my best go. So this is Colossians chapter 4. So it says this: devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in every way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Now here we go, here's the names. Titius will tell you of all the news about me. He is a dear friend, a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our fellow faithful and dear friend, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is also called Justus, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is read in the church of the Laodiceans and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry of you received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Okay, so if you know anything about the Bible, there are from time to time, there's these lists of names. In fact, if you want to write a bestseller, you wouldn't start it with a list of names, yet that is what the Bible does. The New Testament, you read the first chapter of Matthew, it's so-and-so beget, so-and-so beget, so-and-so beget, so-and-so beget. It's like, oh my goodness, really? Is this the book? And it's not quite the same here. Paul has just got this whole list of names and we're thinking, okay, well, that's very nice for them. But why are we reading this now? What's the point? You know, why bother reading about a whole load of these people? Half of them, the names sound so strange. I've noticed that none of our kids are called this, you know. Well, maybe there's a Mark and a Luke, maybe. Yeah, my middle name is Mark. Yes, okay, fair enough. But I haven't met many Archippuses on church camps. Anyway. But they sound strange, these names. But the thing is, what I love about this is it grounds this in the reality that this we're dealing with real people. Paul was talking about real people, two real people. This is not just kind of like a sort of theory of his PhD that he wrote and kind of like just sent it out. Anyone interested in this, read it. And nobody is interested in PhDs, really.
I'll take you up on that.
Yeah. You know, we write these things and they're just so dense. You know, do we anyway. But this is real stuff. Oh, by the way, I'm doing a master's next year. This is real stuff with real people. And we might imagine, actually, that all of these people are like spiritual giants, you know, as if like they all were these kind of big names in the church. And maybe some of them were. But then maybe also some of them were quite ordinary. You know, some of these people were maybe a little bit unsure in their faith even, you know, a bit like you and me, just kind of not quite sure. I have a few different ideas about Jesus, different ideas of how to be a Christian, different levels of commitment. You know, some people are just like full on. Some people are kind of, yeah, I'll come on Sunday maybe once a month or something, you know. And, it's, you know, that's just the way of church. There's different experiences, different backgrounds. But we're talking about one church. One church, one group of people. In amongst all this, you've got two gospel writers. We just mentioned them, Mark and Luke. So they're pretty big names. They became quite famous by having their stories of Jesus named after them. but there are others. Others may have had really close connections with Jesus, and others may have just been local people in this community of people that Paul knew, who just maybe otherwise would have been nobodies. But, and this applies to all of us, they are all individuals named and known by God. Named and known by God. So I just thought to finish off this series in Colossians, it'd be good to have a look at some of these, just this community of people that Paul had have contact with. So some of them are news bringers. You've got Tychus and Onesimus, who is one of them. So this, maybe Onesimus is part of the community there. They are going to share what's been going on with Paul and what's been going on in the church around the world, I guess. You know, it's always good to get a bit of perspective beyond our little world. Because we come here every week and we share testimonies. John's just telling me again, since I've been praying for his knee's been, you know, he hasn't had any pain there. I love sharing that kind of news. This is what God's doing here. But also, there's stuff going on outside. In other churches, you know, and it's good to hear that. It's good to hear what God's doing. We have connections with folk in Iran, the church in Iran. So from time to time, they send us a letter, and this is what's happening. And I'll read some of that stuff out to you. It's good to know what's going on outside in the world around us. I was with Nathan, who's the pastor at Beacon Church this week. He and I just get together from time to time. He's just telling me what's going on in their church. You know, they're starting to think now, their capacity is 140 in their cafe area where they meet on a Sunday morning. They're starting to think now, we need more space. And that's great. A church that needs more space means that God is doing stuff and working there. And so I'm excited that's... It's not just Iran, it's happening in Chertsey as well as Addleston, yeah? It's good to hear. It's encouraging. It's encouraging to know that we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses in various different places where God is doing stuff, and they're all named, they all have names, and so do we. And we're known by God, and God is working. So, a lot of these folk also, they send their greetings. And my first impression of this, I could just imagine a few people sort of saying, yeah, say hi from me. You do that, don't you? If we were meeting somebody that you knew, you might say, oh, yeah, say hi from me. There's this guy called Aristarchus who's a fellow prisoner. And I was just imagining the scene because my mind goes off sometimes like this. And he's probably there with Paul in prison. And after they've sung a few hymns and stuff, Paul starts writing and he's kind of like, okay, who are you writing to this time? You know, can you imagine? Because Paul's always writing letters, isn't he? So you can imagine Aristarchus. Maybe he doesn't like writing. Maybe he's like me. Doesn't do letters so well. It's like, who are you writing to now? And he might say, oh, just some friends of mine in a church in Colossae. I mean, this guy, I'm presuming he's a believer. And I thought, I wonder whether he's kind of like across the cell, kind of, yeah, all right, say hi from me. Kind of a bit nonchalantly. But I think it's a little bit deeper than that. If you look at the Greek meaning for greeting, it means to draw one close, to embrace them, to give them a hug. You remember how the father in the story of the prodigal son, when he sees the son coming, what does he do? He falls and embraces him and kisses him. That's a greeting. That's the kind of greeting we're talking about here. It's not just a kind of like, yeah, hi. I don't really want to know. Just don't bother me too much. I'll just say hi and nod and move on, just like we British people tend to do. But this is a heartfelt, deep, yeah, tell them. Tell them I greet them. It says here, Epaphras, one of these other characters, he sends his greeting. He's one of you. And maybe that means he's part of the community there and he's been on tour and he's come back. And he says, He's been wrestling for you in prayer, that you may stand firm in the will of God and be mature and fully assured. Epaphras is commended for working hard for them in Colossae and the church as a whole. So, and he sends his greetings. So this isn't just kind of like, yeah, hi, whatever. These people are just pouring out their hearts to God and working passionately for these people, wrestling in prayer. So there's greetings for all these different characters, Aristarchus, Mark, you know, that's the Mark, as in Mark, the guy who wrote the gospel. Justus, Epaphras, mentioned him, Luke, Demas, Paul himself. This guy called Justus, I love this. I love the reality of this. It's like, he says, there's a guy called Jesus. He sends, I mean, what a laugh that is. There's actually a laugh. There's a guy in Paul's little circle of friends called Jesus, who isn't Jesus. So they have to kind of give him a nickname, Justus, just in case, like, what? I thought Jesus was dead and then resurrected, and then now he sent it. What? You know, has anyone seen The Life of Brian? My daughter has. There's this character called Brian, and everybody thinks he's the son of God. And his mum comes out one day and says, he's not the Messiah, he's just a very naughty boy. You know, and you can imagine that this guy just is like, oh, why did my mum call me Jesus? Wrong time of life, wrong time of history to be called Jesus. Because, oh, Jesus, yeah, I've heard about you, yeah. Rose from the dead, did you? You know, can you imagine? I mean, because that's what happens in communities, isn't it? We get a bit of banter going. Poor old Justus, Jesus. And then Paul mentions some quite personal things. He says, of a few different people, he says, these are the only Jews among my co-workers. Meaning these are the only ones that are really kind of like me amongst all of these Christians. And I'm wondering whether he's saying, there's not many people like me, and I'm glad to have these people, otherwise I'd be a bit lonely. Or maybe he's trying to show how ethnically diverse the church is now. But I think it's actually more likely that he is just maybe thinking, I am just so grateful that there are some folk who are actually just a little bit like me in this crazy thing called church now. We're following this Jesus, not just the Jesus. And actually, I'm comforted by the fact that there are some people that from the same background. They cook the same kind of food. From time to time, it's good just to have a bit of home cooking. You know, from time to time, it's good just to speak the same language and have the same jokes. And I'm sure those of you from different cultures would appreciate it. If you meet with some other Nigerians, maybe you just think, I am so fed up with white bread sandwiches that they give me at work. I'm just so grateful for whatever it is that they might cook. Jollof rice, yeah, I don't know. Maybe, because I know that if I was in Nigeria, I'd be craving my white bread sandwiches, you know? Not that there's anything wrong with the other cultures. Not that I don't want to mix, but at the end of the day, we are who we are. There's just reality here. You know, the church is such a diverse and wonderful place where we're just sharing so much, but also at the same time, just give me some white bread. He speaks to this guy called Archippus. He says, tell him to complete the ministry he has received in the Lord. Now, and I'm reading this, I'm thinking, I wonder what that ministry is. I wonder if this guy Archippus is known for starting stuff but not finishing. Anyone like that?
Yes.
Okay. Me and Cherry united. We're united in starters, not finishers. Yeah, maybe he's prone to a bit of discouragement. Maybe he's lacking in confidence. And there's plenty of people like that. I'm like that. I don't even know whether I start. I just have a good idea and just, yeah, write it down. but we all need a bit of encouragement. You know that thing you did where you started? It was really good. Keep going. Particularly in the ministry. You know, if you start in ministry in some way, if you started praying for someone, he started preaching, he started... Keep going. We all need a bit of encouragement. And then he speaks about this guy, Mark. The Mark. The guy who wrote one of the Gospels. He says, you've received instructions about him. If he comes, welcome him. Now, I'm thinking, I wonder what those instructions were. I'm wondering whether they're saying, you know, he's a bit quirky. So just, you know, bear with him. You know, or he might have a few character flaws, so be wary of him. Or maybe he had a nut allergy or something, which is what we do. This kind of thing we talk about now, you know. Or maybe he likes, you know, likes to be in bed by 9 o'clock at night, so don't call him after 9:30, you know. I mean, I don't know what these special instructions are that come with Mark. Some of us need special instructions. But this is the guy, by the way, that Paul, the Apostle Paul, and Barnabas fell out about. Because Mark had kind of like sort of ducked out a little bit. And Paul was like, oh, well, I can't trust in this guy. Barnabas is like, yeah, I'm into it. Let's take him. And they actually parted ways. This is the same guy. So maybe Paul has given them a bit of a warning. He's like, he's all right, but just keep an eye on him. You know, he might be around for a bit. I don't know. I think sometimes it's wise to be a bit wary. And just to know that not to be unloving and not to be unwelcoming, but just take things slowly, maybe. No, not to launch in straight away. You know, you meet somebody for the first time, it's like, right, let's go. But actually just get time to get to know them and just to see where we're at. Set some boundaries, set some expectations. Because everybody comes with their issues, don't they? Have you noticed? None of us just come like sort of shrink, vacuum-packed, perfect, kind of plop here in that. We all come with our sort of issues. We all need a bit of a health warning on us, you know. Beware of Richard. He needs encouragement in his jokes. I'll say that again. Beware of Richard. He needs encouragement in his jokes. Yeah, thank you. Some of you not get that, yeah. And then finally, some of these folk he refers to as brothers. In fact, actually at the end, let's just read at the end, he says, give my greetings to the brothers and sisters in Laodicea. Brothers and sisters. And I think this is really, for me, a big part of the heart of the gospel. That we are reconciled to God with one Father, which means if we have one Father, we're reconciled to one another as brothers and sisters. It's not just I've got my God and you've got your God and we kind of know him, but actually we know the same God, the same Father. And so as we're reconciled to that God, that one Father, that means also there's a reconciliation that goes on this way as well. And actually, despite the fact that I like white bread and you like jollof rice or whatever it is, we're brothers and sisters. We're brothers and sisters. And so actually sort of is a summary of what Jesus said. That, you know, the greatest commandment is love God. And the second one is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. It's kind of, this is that reconciliation and love we have for God. And then also it comes this way as well. We love one another. So know God as Father and know that you are his children. And know that you have many, 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 many brothers and sisters. And all these names that we've just read here with all these strange names, they're related to one another through the blood of Christ. They're blood relatives in the blood of Christ. And we're related to them. They're our, like, I don't know how many great granduncles and grandbrothers and sisters in Christ. And there's a powerful moment where this becomes reality. You see, Jesus on the cross, one of my sort of heroes, theological heroes, you've heard me talk about him, Philip Greenslade, he wrote a book called Words, I think it's called Words from the Cross. I think that's what it is. And just taking those powerful words that Jesus speaks while he's on the cross. Because when Jesus is on the cross, it's like, he can't be sort of preaching whole sermons, right? If he's going to say something, listen carefully to this, you know. And one of the things he says we assume it's John and Mary, his mother, they're there. And he says to Mary, woman, here is your son. And he says to John, here is your mother. And it's like on the cross, something happens where a new family is created, a new people of God. And it is very sort of clear that this is how it works, you know. You wouldn't have called her mother before. You wouldn't have called him son before necessarily. But now in Christ, we are family. We are brothers and sisters. A new people, united in Jesus. You know, Jesus, when he prayed just before he went to the cross, he had this prayer, and he says, I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. So I just you may not be in the habit of that, but I think it's good to call each other brothers and sisters. It's good to know and to affirm. And particularly sometimes people think, oh, well, you're the pastor, then I can't be your brother or sister because you're the pastor. You're sort of like, you're one of these superheroes like Mark and Luke who wrote the scriptures. That's, I'm sure you see me on the same level. But thank you. The encouragement about the jokes is starting to filter through. But actually, no, we're brothers and sisters. Yeah? Brothers and sisters. Here in this local church. United to this bigger picture, because also we're brothers and sisters, but we're brothers and sisters with these guys with the funny names as well. Because there's one body, one spirit, as Paul says in Ephesians, just as you were called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Yeah. So how should we respond to this? I think, at the beginning of this section we read, he says, pray for me. Well, pray for Paul? Hasn't he got it all sorted? Yeah, pray for me. Pray. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters as we greet one another. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for the church around the world. You know, those people in the church in Iran that I keep talking about, they have names and we can pray for them. And they will be blessed by our prayers. And I know there are people that pray for us, which is a real blessing. Because the church is made up of millions of names known by God around the world. And get into the habit of greeting one another. Just sending real greetings and encouraging one another in those greetings. Here and also beyond Kings. I think it's great, you know, when you, we went to a gig, Louise and I, on Thursday night. We just bumped into some old friends, just happened to be there. It's just great to have those kind of moments where you can greet one another in the Lord. People we've known a long time. So, but you maybe after this, you might just think, oh, I don't know, maybe somebody like John and Anu, you know, who used to be part of our congregation, let's just send them a greeting. So I just want to say, love you guys, miss you, whatever, or Peter and Charmaine, you know, maybe people that have just, very much part of us, but just not here with us anymore. You may have others as well. Just one final story. You know, we had our centenary in 2018. Some of you were there for that. And what happened was this room was full of people. We had people come back. I don't know how Emma managed to do this, but went through some old address books and just managed to dig up just pretty much everybody who was still alive, been to the church, connected to the church, not necessarily everyone. And it's just great to hear stories almost like from different decades, sort of saying, yeah, my mum used to bring me here, or my grandma used to bring me here, or whatever, and God, and that was a foundation for me and for my life. It's just amazing that we're related to all these people. You know, there's a real heritage here in this, 100 years more in this church. And to know that we're all part of that family, it's a great thing. Okay, let me pray, and then Cherry's gonna lead us in communion. Lord, we thank you that we are part of your family. We're united in Christ with these names that we read that sound, in some ways familiar, but some ways they're so alien because they're such a long time ago and so strange sounding. But we thank you, Lord, that we are united with them and many others, people in the church in China, Iran, all around the world, and also in Chertsey and in Addleston and here in this congregation. We thank you that you know us by name. We thank you you bring encouragement to us through one another. We thank you that as we're reconciled to you, we're also to be reconciled to one another. And so I pray, let us learn from these names. Let us learn from the things that you're doing amongst us and in us. And Jesus, we pray just as you prayed. Unite us as you are one with the Father. Unite us together, that we would be known in our unity and our love for one another. Lord, we pray we continue to know that as we break bread and share communion together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.